Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthy living.
Hi, everyone. Today, I have a special treat for you. A few weeks ago, I had organizing expert and best-selling author Julie Morgenstern on Mighty Mommy to talk about the methods from her new book and podcast, Time to Parent. Well, now I am so excited to be sharing an episode from her show with you. In it, Julie talks with a special guest, Elizabeth, a parent who had struggled to find balance between her work and home life. I know so many of my listeners probably worry about balance and that Julie's organizing tactics may help you too. Keep listening for this inspiring story and how to improve your own parenting life. If you enjoy what you hear, subscribe to Time to Parent wherever you get podcasts.
Hi, I'm Julie Morgenstern, and this is Time to Parent. Before we get started, a word from our sponsor, Milk Life. 50% of kids don't get enough calcium, vitamin D, and potassium. Make sure your kid isn't one of them. One simple way is to give them 3 servings of real wholesome milk each day. The American Academy of Pediatrics encourages dairy milk at most meals and water in between. Serve milk at mealtimes to ensure children get the vital nutrients they need. Learn more at pourmilk.com. Hi, I'm Julie Morgenstern, and welcome to Time to Parent, the podcast that will give you more time, less guilt, and deeper joy. This week is all about TEACH. TEACH is the last quadrant in PART, our acronym for raising a human being. And we're going to dig in with a client named Liz. Liz constantly struggled with teaching her kids the importance of putting things away. I work with her this week to solve that problem. First, we need to define TEACH. Obviously, we all get a formal education in school, but parents are responsible for teaching their kids things to prep them for adulthood. And parents don't just teach life skills like cooking and cleaning, they also teach kids essential values. For instance, learning how to mop a floor is an important skill, but learning why you should mop the floor, why you should value a clean house, is just as important. And parents are the ones who teach kids those values. With that in mind, we go to Liz. I want to give a heads up that we had some technical issues this week, so her audio may sound a bit fuzzy. Bear with us for this episode.
Hi, my name is Liz Meher, and I've got 4 kids. I have a daughter who's 9, a boy who's 7, another boy who's 4.5, and another boy who is 2, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. I used to have my own jewelry business, and if I can get organized and get my kids in gear, then I would love to get back to that.
When a client comes to me with a specific problem, I always start by asking how they are already or have been trying to solve it. For Liz, I needed to understand how she was already trying to teach her kids about the value of order. Right now, Liz's approach to teaching her kids was kind of like a drill sergeant.
I think that I was going about it all the wrong ways. I feel like I felt like I'm the parent, so I need to control the situation, and I need to tell these kids what to do, how it is. And so therefore I feel like I was constantly getting mad at them, fussing at them, trying to give consequences that would matter to them, and trying to get them to clean up when they really just wanted to rebel and didn't want to do it. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. Because I feel like I didn't give them a good reason why they should do it, other than I'm yelling at you and you need to do this.
Liz had become the big, mean mommy in the house, always yelling and always disciplining. Her kids hated this, and frankly, Liz hated this too. She wanted to be, in the words of her 4.5-year-old, happy mommy. Part of this contention was coming from the fact that Liz believed it was her job as the parent to create the systems, and she didn't feel so confident in her ability to do so. Not only that, she also felt it was her job as a parent to make sure her kids honored the systems. But policing them was a hassle she just couldn't sustain. The result? The systems inevitably fell apart.
I mean, I've hired organizers to come to the house, and then they'll put the systems in place. But the kids haven't really been on board. It's inevitable that I won't be watching all four, or, you know, one or two will be out, or somebody has a play date. They don't put the stuff back. Then we lose the order. Then they don't know the order. And because they didn't play a part in it, I guess. But I feel like it's just temporary. It's like a Band-Aid that now it needs another Band-Aid. But I need to really solve the wound at the issue at hand, and not just temporarily fix it for a week or whatever.
Even with the help of organizers, Liz still struggled. All of this outside help couldn't get at the root of the issue. And that root was that Liz didn't give her kids ownership of the systems. Her kids weren't involved in their creation, so they weren't invested in their maintenance. But Liz didn't know how to create a system on her own. She admits that she never felt like an organized person. And if that's the case, how is she supposed to teach her kids to be organized when she doesn't have that skill herself?
I didn't have anything to really give them to teach this lesson. Even though I thought that I did, I didn't really. I wasn't giving them any tools for them to actually learn not only how to organize, but also what we're losing because we're so disorganized. And I'm meanwhile exhausted and feeling like a failure and like I can't teach my kids how to live properly.
Liz's dilemma is a common one for parents, and it's this: how do we teach our kids essential life skills that we don't ourselves possess? I've been organizing for a long time, and what I see all the time is when parents themselves struggle with disorganization, they feel especially bad when they see their kids being disorganized as well. They feel like they're looking at a reflection at their failings as a parent. But this perspective isn't only incorrect, it's just unhelpful, not productive. Because when parents feel guilt and then react harshly, it stops any learning that might be possible. For Liz, the chaos triggered her feelings of inadequacy as a mom and a teacher. So she'd get upset. And then her agitation would make her kids upset. And when kids' brains are flooded with emotions, no learning happens.
Whenever your child, no matter their age, is triggered, right? They're upset, they're frustrated, they're angry. Their right brain that's the emotional brain, the reactive brain, the impulsive brain, not the thinking and planning brain, which is your left brain. When they are flooded with emotion, there is no thinking or planning or problem solving.
That's Claire Lerner, an expert on child development that I worked with for the Time to Parent book. She's a clinical social worker with a specialty in early childhood development and parenting. Claire has dedicated her career and her practice to helping parents with the social-emotional development of their children, and she just has a way of explaining it that makes it accessible to all of us. And for Claire, what comes before anything else when teaching children is empathy.
And it doesn't mean you have to agree with their feeling or agree with their behavior. It's just an acknowledgement of their emotional state and showing empathy for it. Because feelings are never, ever the problem. Feelings just are for all of us, no matter your age, whether you're 2 or you're 99. It's what we do with our feelings that can either be productive and healthy or destructive. And so the first step in learning to manage those emotions is labeling them and acknowledging them.
So this gives us a first bit of enlightenment about Liz. Her reactions to her kids not putting their toys away were part of the reason the toys weren't getting put away in the first place. Learning can't happen when emotions are heightened. And in order to calm kids' emotions, you have to connect with them.
And so it's really important at that juncture when the child starts to protest that the parent is able to take a moment to not be reactive, to think through if it's not life or death, you know, your child's not running into the street and you have time to think it through to decide what is it I want to teach my child in this moment. And if you can come from a place of they're not doing anything wrong, they're not misbehaving, they're just pushing for what they want, and my job is to set the appropriate boundary with tons of love and empathy while remaining calm.
This idea of connecting with your kids, of empathizing with their feelings, even when they're unhappy with what you're asking them to do, is what lays the groundwork for teachable moments. Instead of shouting matches, Liz needed to understand why her kids weren't absorbing the values. The next thing Claire explained is that parents think they have to solve their children's problems. They think they have to have all the answers and have to pass those answers on to their kids. But what Claire told me is that actually, that's not the way you should go about teaching.
Another pitfall that I find parents fall into also inadvertently is thinking that it's their job to solve their children's problems. A child struggles, we get triggered, we feel uncomfortable about their discomfort, and we just want to take everybody out of their misery. The problem is that when we do that, we are inadvertently sending our child the message that we don't think you can solve your own problems, mm-hmm. and you need me to swoop in and solve those problems for you. So it's just one of those mind shifts that are really important for parents to make, that your job is not to solve your child's problems. Your job is to help your child become a really good problem solver.
Isn't that great? Your job is to give your kids the tools they need and the encouragement to be a good problem solver. Your job is not to solve the problem. So for Liz, she felt like she had to have all the answers. She felt like if only she could apply the right technique, the right solution to this problem, then her kids would learn to pick up after themselves. But that's not how it works. Liz needed to engage her kids in this problem, to trust that they might have ideas about how to solve it, that they might know how to flip the switch on this disrupted household. After the break, I help Liz hit reset. Paribo Press is a photo printing service that turns your cherished family photos into gorgeous home decor. You can order unique, high-quality prints, photo books, and more all through Paribo's website or iOS app. Paribo can pull your photos directly from Instagram, Facebook, your computer, or right from your camera roll. Paribo's prints are super high quality, but still really affordable. From free sets of small square prints to photo books to giant 3x4 wall hangings, starting at just $25, their prints are sure to fit your style and your budget. They even offer calendar prints and greeting cards. Don't let your best family moments get lost in the digital stream or clutter. Turn them into beautiful prints and fill your space with joy with Paribo. So many parents that I work with struggle to get organized, and not organizing and using their family photos is probably the greatest source of guilt. What I love is that Paribo makes using your photos so amazingly easy. It takes all the burden off your shoulders and puts them on display in your home. So head to paribo.press or download their iOS app and get $10 off your first order with the code TIMES. That's Paribo. Paribo.press and the code TIMES, TIMES, to get $10 off your first order today. Definitely check it out. RX Bar believes in the power of transparency. That's why they list all their ingredients right on the front of the packaging. Their bars are made up of real, whole ingredients. Egg whites for protein, dates to bind, nuts for texture, and other whole ingredients for delicious flavor. RX Bar has plenty of flavors for adults, like peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and mixed berry. But they also have a kid line with the same ingredients, just smaller, softer, and more kid-friendly. They come in 6 flavors kids love, like PB&J and chocolate chip. So you can give your kids an after-school snack they'll love without making compromises on nutrition. And all RX bars are gluten-free, dairy-free, and free of artificial flavors and preservatives. So I'm a huge fan of the RX bar. I saw them on a shelf a couple of years ago, and what attracted me was how pure the ingredients are. No chemicals. I saw like 5 ingredients on the package, and I was like, that's the stuff that I put in my body. And they're actually the only energy bar that I eat. So now RX Bar is offering you an exclusive pack of 6 adult bars and 4 kid bars so the whole family can enjoy. For 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/parent and enter promo code PARENT at checkout. Before the break, we heard from Liz, a mom who felt like she did a lot of yelling and nagging and not a lot of teaching. And we heard from Claire Lerner, who told us that empathy needs to be at the forefront of all learning moments and that parents shouldn't feel like they have to solve all the problems children face. Essentially, you don't have to know a skill to teach it. You can teach a value, like the value of order, and then learn the skill together with your family. And that's what I coached Liz on. After hearing from her, I suggested she needed to hit reset with her kids. She needed to sit down, have a conversation with her family, identify the issue, and engage everyone in solving the problem together. Her family had fallen into a pattern, and they needed to come together to get out of this rut. So Liz planned the meeting.
And I had so much anxiety, so much stress about it. Like, oh my God, I'm not going to impart enough. And, it's not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be able to do this. I mean, just really, I was down on myself and just really nervous.
I suggested Liz approach the conversation by simply identifying the problem. She defined it as this: we spend a lot of time arguing over putting things away. Then she asked her kids their take, guiding them with these 2 fundamental questions. Are you happy with how the house is running? And what is the disorganization and chaos costing you? I have some handy scripts for this type of conversation in the Time to Parent book as well. Liz avoided barging in with solutions and instead took a more empathetic approach. Turns out her kids absolutely felt the stress and frustration, and they weren't happy with the way the house was running either.
Yeah, they said, it costs us time, Mommy. We don't get to play as much as we want to do. You know, you're always, you know, yelling at us and nagging us to pick up and put things away. And if we were organized, that we could have so much more free time to play cards, to play games, to spend time with you. They were also just as desperate as I was to change our lives for the better.
So importantly, the chaos was causing her kids as much stress as it was causing Liz. They understood the value of organization, and they were open to learning and creating new ways to get there. I gave Liz a couple of exercises she could conduct to let her kids experience the value of time saved. All of them hinge on this idea that putting things away immediately is quicker than looking for misplaced items later. I explained to Liz that it's really natural for everybody to sort of drop things and move on to their next activity because they think it's going to take so long to put things away. So I suggested she conduct a couple exercises with her kids to see how long does it really take to put something away versus look for something that has been misplaced. So they started in the kitchen and Liz toured them through the cabinets to show what belongs where, and then they played out a few scenarios. She took out her cell phone, put on the timer and ask them to put dishes away from the dishwasher.
Or my daughter said, oh, it takes, you know, 10 minutes to put dishes back. And I said, no, it doesn't. I said, show me how long, just do it. We did it and it took about a minute. So I kind of called her on, you know, her own excuses.
Liz conducted a few of these teaching exercises to drive home the point that it takes far less time to put things away in the first place than it does to look for misplaced items later. So then she timed them on looking for things in a room that was less organized, the playroom. It took 1 minute to put things away in the kitchen, and over 20 minutes to look for a soccer ball in the playroom, and they never even found the soccer ball.
So here was an example of, like, if we really put things back, we won't have these situations. We'll get rid of this stress. And I think they really rang true for them.
As a family, they realized it took a fraction of the time to put things away immediately after using them, and that if every member of the family participated, it would make living in the house and with each other much more easy and peaceful. Then they needed to come up with a system to hold every member of the family accountable. Turns out her kids had a lot of ideas, even her 4.5-year-old, and her 9-year-old daughter started with identifying the chores that needed to be done.
She came up with some chore cards, maybe about 8, and then I think with the boys she came up with another 4, and then she made a chore chart where I could actually do the stars every week after everybody had done their chores. So I thought that was really smart of her to think of a foolproof way of, you know, this is to show what we've achieved in the week and that we did what we were supposed to do.
It was so great for Liz that her kids came up with the chores and the chore chart. She was so pleased. But then Liz asked me, well, what if they don't do the chores? I don't want to be the nag. And I said, you shouldn't be the nag. Why don't you ask your kids what the consequences should be if anybody in the family doesn't follow the system?
They suggested things like, you know, canceling their hot lunch for the week or no treats in their lunch or things like this that really matter to them. So, which is fine with me.
What's amazing here is that in a relatively short period of time, Liz feels like her whole family dynamic has changed just by engaging her kids. She doesn't feel like the drill sergeant. She feels like the happy mommy.
I don't have all the answers. I don't need to put so much pressure on myself. And that if I just engage my kids in the process, that we can problem solve together successfully without the frustration, without the stress, and it can bring us closer together.
What I want you to take away from this episode is this. If something in your family is not working, if it's causing you stress, it's probably causing your kids stress too. And you don't have to have all the answers for how to solve it. In fact, by engaging your family, you'll get better results in the long run. So create space for your family to discuss the issue. State the family value of solving it and open yourself up to what your kids bring to the table. I think it's so freeing for us as parents who always put so much pressure on ourselves to know it all and impart it all that we don't have to have all of the life skills to teach them to our kids. We can and should be learning right alongside our families. This has been the Time to Parent podcast, and I'm Julie Morgenstern. My new book, also titled Time to Parent, is out now. Buy it wherever you get books or at the link in the show notes. You can find more information on my website, juliemorgenstern.com. If you like the show, please be sure to leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen. We're looking for questions from you. Do you have questions on how you can balance your time as a parent? Email them to timetoparent@macmillan.com. This show is produced by the perky, smart, and very bright Becky Celestina. Editing help from Alyssa Martino, Alexander Abnos, and Katie Ferguson. Thanks also to my superstar assistant, Tatiana McPartlin, who's the wizardress of Julie Morgenstern Enterprises. She keeps us organized so I can keep you organized. See you next week.
Thanks again for listening to this bonus episode of Time to Parent with Julie Morgenstern. You won't want to miss future episodes where Julie talks about everything from physical organization and your morning routine to the importance of sleep and exercise. Search for Time to Parent and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening right now.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Meet Gail. Her thing is being a supermom. And supermom has a lot on her super-sized plate.
Ain't that the truth.
But at Walmart Pharmacy, supermom recently got her whole family updated on all their vaccines.
We knocked it out during a grocery run. No appointment.
That's next-level supermom. From pneumonia to shingles, HPV, and more, get no-cost vaccinations from an expert pharmacist where you already shop. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart. $0 copay with most insurances. State age and health restrictions may apply.